Okay, we're going to pick up from Mem Hei Amud. It's a few lines before the Mishnah, so that maybe 10 lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, at the end of a line. We were talking about, we had this machloket in the Mishnah, if you can look at the sheets from yesterday, about the, the Tanakam and Rabbi Meir had a machloket about, there were four options. There's the Tiglachat Tahara and the Tiglachat Tum'ah. And the issue is whether you put the hair, after you shave your hair, both if you're nitma lamed and when you finish your nizirut, you have to shave your hair. And the question is, when the pasuk said by the tiglachat tahara that you put it under the, you boil it up, right? You put it in the fire where the shlamim are boiling. Does it apply both to the tiglachat tahara and the tiglachat tum'ah, even though it doesn't mention it by the tiglachat tum'ah? And does it apply whether you're in Yerushalayim or maybe the Beit HaMikdash or whether you're outside? Okay, so we had this two-way machloket. Tana Kama said, only if you're doing Tiglachat Tahara in the Beit HaMikdash, do you put it under the dud, you know, with the fire burning? And all the other cases it doesn't. And Rabbi Meir does exactly the opposite. He says all of them go under the dud unless it's a Tiglachat Tumah that's outside of Yerushalayim or outside the Mikdash. Remember, we said we weren't sure what the Medina meant. So now we're going to see a braita that shows there's actually a third opinion. Tana Rabbanan. Hakola yom shalchin tachat hadud. Okay, that's right. Everything goes under the dud. This is going to be Rabbi Meir's opinion. Chutz mi tameh shegileach b'medina. Mipnei shesaro nikbar, divrei Rabbi Meir. He says the reason it doesn't go is because that person se'ar, the tiglachat tum'ah that's in the Medina, meaning outside of Yerushalayim or the Mikdash, has to be buried. And therefore, it doesn't get burned. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tehorim kan v'kan hayu meshachin. Tmeim kan v'kan lo hayu meshachin. He has a very easy distinction, right? It makes even more sense than all the others, which is the tahara, since it appeared by the psukim that it goes and gets burned, that gets burned tachat hadud, and the tiglachat tme'ah doesn't get burned tachat hadud at all. Okay, there is no such halacha. So that was a new opinion that didn't appear in the Mishnah. And now Chachamim Omrim, Hakol lo hayu meshachin tachat hadud. No one did it. Chutz min tahur shebimikdash mipnei shenasa kimitzvato. Okay, only the tahur in the mikdash, that's the way it's done, kimitzvato. And therefore, that's the one that's going to be, that's the only one that goes tachat hadud. Okay, through a machloket.
So did we conclude earlier that we learned from this or from the other things that a tamei does not come into Machane Levi?
Right, so the Tameh...
Is that part of... But he still has to
bring Korbanot. No, he has to have Haref Shemesh. Once he has Haref Shemesh, then he can come. In other words, because he's Mechusar Kippurim, remember, there were the two. He had two strikes against him. He was both Mechusar Kippurim, and he was didn't have Haref Shemesh from the Tefillah. So the... In the end, they say, if you have Haref Shemesh, though, then you can already come in on the morning of the 8th, basically. Okay. Now we're starting a new Mishnah. Hayam bevashel et hashlamim. We're continuing along the process. Okay, so now he cooks up the shlamim. O sholkan. Okay, sholkan, we've had this word before. It either means to undercook or to overcook. Okay, it's a type of cooking, but it means it's either overcooked or undercooked. So he would boil the shlamim. Okay, mevashel always means in water. Or he would overcook or undercook them. That would also, it's, right, we call the whole thing cooking, but they had two different terms. One was the term for cooking, again, it's unclear whether it's cooking it just a little bit or cooking it way more. Okay? So either which way, you could do one of those two options. Then he's notel et hazroa b'sheila min ha'ayil. Okay, maybe you want to look at the psukim for this because I want to show you that it appears exactly in the psukim. Okay? So it says here, v'yikrivit korbano. Okay, we're in Pasuk Yud Dalet, or let's start with Yud Gimel, okay? Bamidbar Vav Yud Gimel. V'zo Tarat HaNazir B'yom Elot Yemei Nizro. Okay, remember those words, V'zo Tarat HaNazir. We're going to come back to them today. Yavi Oto HaPetach HaMo'ed. That was what we darshan yesterday. He has to go to Petach HaMo'ed. And then the question is, what does that mean? Does he actually do the shaving in Petach HaMo'ed, or does it mean something else? One second. No, sorry, it's not that Petach HaMoed. It's later when it talks about the Gilach HaNazir Petach HaMoed. Sorry about that. Not that pasuk. Okay, so now he brings it to Petach HaMoed. Bikrivit korbanot Hashem, keves ben shnato tamim echad le'olah. בכבשה אחת בת שנתת ממה לחטאת, והיה לך תמים לשלמים, right? That's what we talked about, the עולה, the חטאת and the שלמים. בסל מצות, סולה חלות בלולות בשמן, okay? He brings this basket of מצות, okay? סולת, חלות בלולות בשמן, right? Mixed up with oil and the dough. וריקיקי מצות משוחים בשמן, ומנחתם ונזקיהם, okay? He brings the סל מצות and the ריקיקי מצות, okay, he brings this bread with it, like a bread offering. Again, matzah, not bread, mamash. Right? There was almost no bread in the mikdash, right? There were a few exceptions, but usually it wasn't bread. It was usually not chametz. It was usually matzah. V'kriva kohen lifnei Hashem, v'asat chatato v'et olato. Here we got the order, right? The chatat first, then the ola. Again, not everyone agreed, but according to the one who did. Asat chatato v'et olato, v'et ha'ayil yaseh zevach shlamim l'Hashem. Al sal hamatzot, right? The matzot go along with the shlamim. We saw that way back, mm-hmm. right? That the lechem goes with the shlamim. V'asah kohen minchato ve'et nisko. V'gilach hanazir petach ol moed. Here's the petach ol moed, right? He shaves in the petach ol moed, which we explained yesterday. It might not necessarily mean that he actually does it in petach ol moed. Might be coming to teach you other things. Et rosh nizro. V'lakach et tza'ar rosh nizro v'natan al esh asher tachat zevach hashlamim. Right, he takes his hair and he puts it under the fire that's under the Zevach Shlamim. Yesterday we darshed in the Zevach Shlamim. It didn't say Shlamim v'Zevach. It means if you accidentally put it under the Chatat or the Asham, maybe from the Tiglach HaNazir Tameh, that it would work. And also that you use it with the Rotev of the Shlamim. We said you put a little sauce on it before you burn it. V'lakach HaKohen, here goes our part. Then the Kohen takes et hazroa b'sheila min ha'ayil. V'chalat matzah achat min asal, u'rikik matzah achad. Okay, he takes one of the chalat matzah and one of the rikik matzah. V'natan al kapeh ha-nazir, and he puts it on the hand of the nazir. This can be very important. What if a nazir doesn't have a hand? Okay, this is going to reflect some other sugya we saw in some other case. What if he doesn't have a hand? Achar hit galcho et nizro. Okay, so he takes this stuff after he's done shaving. Right here, you actually get a time frame. Right, it's telling you. Last time, it wasn't clear the order. I mean, you could say the order is like the psukim, but there was a bit of a discrepancy when you actually do the shaving. But now they're telling you after the shaving is done, he takes the zroa that was cooked from the ayah. He takes the matzah, one of the chalat matzah, one of the rakik matzah, and he puts it on the hand of the nazir on the palm. Behinif otam kohen tnufa lifnei Hashem. Okay, what's the tnufa? You do ma'aleh morid, molich or mevi ma'aleh morid. Okay, it's where the ni'anuei lulav, some of the opinions say, it comes from the tnufa. Okay, there's a whole bunch of korbanot and things that get tnufa. We saw last time, very recently, that the levim got tnufa done to them, physical, right, to the people. Okay, but generally it's done with some sort of korban or mincha or something. So the Kohen puts them in the hands of the Nazir, and then he moves them, almost like his hand is on his hand, and moving them around does the tnufa. Kodesh hu l'Kohen al chazeh tnufa v'al shok ha-truma, v'achar yishteh ha-Nazir yayin. And after this is done, now we can go have a party. Okay, so then I think this means this is Kodesh to the Kohen, in addition to the chazeh and the shok that generally go to the Kohen. That's what I think. I didn't look this up, but I think that's what it means. In other words, it's in addition, the Kohen also gets the chazeh and the shok. Right? Now, this part belongs to the Kohen. In addition to the other parts that belong to the Kohen, just because they always belong to the Kohen. But now this part they did the tnufa with belong to the Kohen. And then the Nazir now can drink wine. Okay? Obviously, he can do all the other things also. He can cut his hair, which I guess he doesn't really need to do right now. Because and he also could be tamei lameh. But obviously, the wine is the, you know, was the main thing he was holding back from, and now he's free. Okay, so there's going to be a whole discussion about what exactly frees him, and you know when the moment he's allowed to drink the wine is. Okay, so now he cooks up the shlamim. Okay, either mivashel or shlika. Notelet hazroa b'sheila min ha'ayil v'chala matzah achat min asal u'rikik matzah achat v'noten al kapeh ha'nazir minifan. Okay, exactly like it said in the Torah. Okay, he takes them, he waves them. V'achar kach hutar ha-nazir l'shtot yayin uli itameh l'metim. Right, they didn't just take what it said in the pasuk. It's interesting they don't mention about cutting hair, but I guess obviously because it's not relevant. Rabbi Shimon Omer, here's a different opinion. Kevan shenizrak alav echad min ha-damim hutar ha-nazir l'shtot yayin uli itameh l'metim. You don't have to wait till the whole end of the process, according to Rabbi Shimon. As soon as you do the zrikat dam, the sprinkling of the blood of one of the korbanot, okay, that's already sufficient. So let's say you start with your chatat, you sprinkle the blood of it. At that point, the nazir is allowed to drink wine if he wanted to. Okay, he says that that's enough. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. So now we're going to see in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a braita. V'achar yishtan nazir yayin. Achar ha-ma'asim kulam, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim omrim, achar ma'aseh yichidi. Okay, here's the machloket also between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim, same machloket. And now we're going to see the reasons that stand behind it. Okay? So they say, when can the nazir, the pasuk says, achar yishtan nazir yayin. Now what does achar mean? Okay, if you notice in that pasuk, I don't know if you picked up on that word, it says, right, and after yishtan nazir yayin. So comes Rabbi Lazar, and he says like the pshat, right? After, meaning after everything that we just talked about. After the whole list of things at the very end of the section, after everything. Chachamim amrim no, achar means after ma'aseh yichidi, after one act. We're going to see in a minute where he gets this from. My time ayo de Rabbanam, where do Chachamim learn achar ma'aseh yichidi? So he darshins gzera shava. K'tiv hacha, v'achar yishtan nazir yayin. Okay, that's our pasuk. U'k'tiv hatam, achar hitgalcho et nizro. Okay, look at that pasuk. That is in, that's pasuk yud tet. Okay, v'lakacha kohen, et hazro b'shela. That was the one we just read about our Mishnah. V'lakacha kohen, et hazro b'shela min ha'ayel, v'chala matzah achat min ha'sala, v'kik matzah achat, v'natan kapeha nazir, achar hitgalcho et nizro. What does it mean? He does this after he shaves. So what do you learn now? The word achar in that pasuk came after one maaseh, which was the giluach, right? So likewise, the other achar means after one maaseh, which means as so much as you did one maaseh of the whole process, that would be sufficient.
But the word achar is being used very differently.
Really, yes, in one case it says
after you can do this, and the other is after you do this.
Right, it's true. So that's a good point. I wasn't thinking about that. That the after means something different in each place. In one place it means after he shaves, and the other one means after this he can now do something else. Yafeh. One is talking about the past, and one is talking about the future. Yafeh. In any case, they had a mesorah clearly. There was a gzera shava here, and that's how they darshan the gzera shava. Okay, remember, gzera shava, you can never make up your own gzera shava. It has to be something that was passed down. So they learn that achar means all he has to do is one ma'aseh, clearly against the pshat of what the pasuk is talking about.
I think they needed to do that because nazirim were so desperate to drink wine at that point. I mean, like, why would they?
Okay, so first of all, I don't know if it's that they were so desperate to drink wine, but the question is, what if the process took a longer period of time? Or it's a more ekronik question, which is, what frees you up, basically? Is it that you started the process? You know, you're basically starting the end, right? You're doing a procedure. And is the whole procedure, number one, is it all ma'akev? Okay, we're going to talk about the whole ikuv soon, okay? Is it ma'akev? Is it not ma'akev? We're going to, you know, hold off on your question a little. Maybe we'll get back to it at the end. Okay, so Chachamim say, achar ma'aseh yichidi, afkan achar ma'aseh yichidi. So then they say, wait, but that the achar doesn't necessarily mean that. Ema ad iku travayu. So they say, no, maybe achar, right? Achar, in that case, maybe the achar is different. And that achar means, achar yishtan is yiryan, after it did two things, or more than two things. No, it's not such a clear proof. So then they say, no, because ihachi gzera shava lamali. In other words, while it's true that the pshat doesn't seem to match it, what else would you have a gzera shava for? If there's this gzera, you know, again, what's being clear is here is that they had a gzera shava, achar achar. Maybe it wasn't 100% clear what they learned from the gzera shava, but they're basically saying once there's a gzera shava that exists, then there's nothing else that could be teaching you other than this. So in other words, while they're saying it might not really agree with the pshat, and you might be able to say otherwise, say, but in the end, if you have a gzera shava, it must be coming for this because there's nothing else that could be coming to teach you. Okay. Amarav. Now we get this halacha by Rav, and this is going to take us till the end of this Mishnah. Amar Rav, tnufa b'nazir ma'akevet. Okay, Rav makes a statement, and he says the tnufa by the nazir is ma'akevet. Okay, meaning that you can't drink wine, you're not released until you do the tnufa. Okay, now, this seems very strange Rav would say this. Why? First of all, we just saw Chachamim said, you don't need. One masa is sufficient. If you say it's like Rabbi Eliezer, well, then why does Rav need to say it if Rabbi Eliezer already said it? And he could say halacha to Rabbi Eliezer, right? Or right? It seems strange that he's saying this is it, this is my chidush. Okay? Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to do the whole process. So obviously, tenufa would be part of that.
Well, maybe if it's out of order, one would say that it's okay and one would say it's not okay.
If it's out of order.
Maybe if you did the tenufa before you did the tiglachat, for example.
But it's still, according to Rav and Rabbi Eliezer, that would be fine. No one's talking about the order. They're all talking about
but Rav would say
that all of them have to be done. It doesn't matter when it's done.
The tenufa is the thing that's holding you back. Not that all have to be done, but the tenufa is
the just the tenufa. You think Rav means only the tenufa is holding you back. That's interesting. Okay. Yafeh. So one option would be to say, which is very difficult, we'll see why, but one option would be to say that the tenufa is the thing that would hold you back, not anything else. Now that could be an option. The Gemara doesn't think that that's an option, and you'll see why in a minute. Because it's unlikely that tenufa would be stronger than the chatat and the olah and the shlamim. Tenufa, we're going to see in a minute, is considered usually like an extra thing. They call it a shirei mitzvah. It's like an extra thing that's usually not ma'akev. Okay? So to say that that's the only thing that's ma'akev, I think would be very difficult. Although, it could be that that's what Rav is saying. Anyway, the Gemara is going to have two parallel trains of, you know, how the sugya work plays itself out. So first they're going to say, Aliba Deman, according to who is Rav talking? Ilema Aliba De Rabbanan, Tiglachat Amar Rabbanan Lo Ma'akva, Tenufa Mebaya? If you're going to say it's Chachamim, who said all you have to do is one ma'aseh, so according to Chachamim, even the Tiglachat is a ma'akev. Even if he doesn't shave, he can still drink wine. And if that's the case, all the more so, Tenufa shouldn't be a problem. Ela aliba de Rabbi Eliezer pshita. And if you say aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, it's obvious because according to Rabbi Eliezer, everything is ma'akev. Only at the very end, when he's done every single stage of the process, is he allowed to drink wine. So obviously, that's the case. So why would Rav need to come and say this? Ha amar Rabbi Eliezer achar masim kulam. So now they're going to say no. It really works. Okay, again, this is the first reading. It really works according to Rabbi Eliezer. Mahu detema, you might have thought, kevan de linyan kapara, shirei mitzvahi, hachanami lo ta'akev, kamash malan. You might have thought, when it comes to a korban that needs tnufa, what do we say? The korbanot generally come for kapara. So you get kapara if you do the korban, right? You do, usually it's the zrikatam, which gives you the kapara. Now, if you didn't do the tnufa, you still get kapara, okay? It's not ma'akev in general in korbanot. So what's Rav coming to teach you? You might have thought that since generally tenufa isn't ma'akev the kapara, when it comes to the nazir, the tenufa also wouldn't be ma'akev, even though he says it's achar ma'asim kulam. He meant all the ma'asim except the tenufa, or you might think that that's what he meant. Therefore, he comes to say no. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, where tenufa generally isn't ma'akev kapara, in the case of the nazir, it would be ma'akev. And that's his chidush. Okay? So that's the first mahalach. We have a question, we have an answer, right? Who does it go according to? I'm going to specify this. Okay, if I didn't have a power failure this morning, I would have charted this out on a sheet. Anyway, it goes like this. So we have a question, right? Who does he go like? We say he goes like Rabbi Eliezer, and it's to teach you, you know, ma'u detema, you might have thought that it's not ma'akev, right? Kamash malan, that it is ma'akev, okay? So, now we're going to question this. Is the tenufa really ma'akev? According to what we said, right, the tenufa is ma'akev. We're going to question Rav now. And really, Rav, according to Rabbi Eliezer, right? Is it really ma'akev? V'ha tanya, zot torat ha-nazir. Remember I told you we're going to come back to that word, right? The very beginning of this section where it describes the whole process. So zot torat ha-nazir. What do we learn from this? This is like a general statement, which comes to tell you, bein sheyesh lo kapayim, bein she'en lo kapayim. This process of nizirut applies to everybody, okay? Whether you have hands or whether you don't have hands. Let's say someone's hand is cut off, and you can't do tenufa, because tenufa has to be done with your hand. So you might have thought, he can't do it at all, it's ma'akev. So what does it come to teach you? That someone who has hands is just like someone who doesn't have hands, which means what? Hey, now, we're going to see this term, Bein sheyesh lo, Bein she'ein lo, can be darshed in two ways. You can either say someone who doesn't have hands is like someone who has hands, or you could say someone who has hands is like someone who doesn't have hands. So I'm specifically setting this up because the second reading is going to do exactly the opposite. So right now it's coming to say that what? Someone who has is like someone who doesn't. Meaning what? Someone who doesn't have hands, let's even do it like this, right? She'ein teaches on she'yesh. Someone she'ein, what do we say about him? He, right? Ein tnufa. He can't do tnufa. He doesn't have hands to do tnufa with. Therefore, someone she'yesh, not that he doesn't have tnufa, but if he didn't do tnufa, it wouldn't be ma'akev. Okay? That's what they want to say right now. Okay? So, let's read it again. Zotarat ha'nazir. Right, so let's start from the question. Umi ma'akva? Is the tnufa really ma'akev? Doesn't it say in a bright Zotarat ha'nazir, ben she'yesh lo kapayim, ben she'ein lo kapayim? And therefore, okay, the problem is the Gemara doesn't fill in all the other words. Therefore, it seems like tnufa wouldn't be ma'akev if someone who doesn't have hands could also do this process. Now they're going to say, wait, that's a weird assumption. Because Elahad Tanya Zotarat ha'nazir, there's another bright that learns from Zotarat ha'nazir. Okay, here we finally get back to that bald nazir that we were talking about. Bein she'yesh lo se'ar, bein she'ein lo se'ar. Whether he has hair or whether he doesn't have hair. Hachanami dilo ma'akva. Would you want to say here that having hair isn't ma'akev and that the giluach isn't ma'akev according to this? Because then you would say, someone who has is just like someone who doesn't have. Just like someone who doesn't have hair doesn't have to shave. Likewise, someone who does have hair doesn't have to shave. And we know that that's not the case. Why? V'hatanya, here we get to our answer that we asked a few days ago about the bald nazir. Nazir memurat, someone whose hair fell out. Beit Shammai omrim, eino tzarich lahavir tar al rosho. Ubeit Hillel omrim, tzarich lahavir tar al rosho. Okay, so the first thing we're going to point out here is Beit Hillel. He's relevant for our flow of the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to say, if we want to say that She'ein is just like, that She'ein teaches on She'yesh, that if you don't have hands, or you don't have hair, then it teaches you that if you do, and you didn't do it, it's not ma'akev. What do we see here? That according to Beit Hillel, even someone who doesn't have hair has to put a razor over his head. Okay? He has to shave his head, even if no hair is coming off. So what do you see? That it is ma'akev. Okay? So you can't say, like we wanted to say here, that tnufa is eina ma'akevet. Right? Because remember, where did they learn that tnufa is eina ma'akevet? Right? From this Zotarat ha'nazir, bein she'yesh, bein she'ein. Right? Bein she'yesh lo kapayim, bein she'ein lo kapayim. So now they're saying, but the same logic would hold, bein she'yesh lo se'ar, bein she'ein lo se'ar, and we see that it's the reverse. That there the tiglachat is ma'akev. Okay? And therefore, that limud you did, that question you asked, is really not a good question, because it doesn't go she'yesh to she'ein, it goes really the reverse. That just like someone who doesn't have hair has to shave, right? Let's put it this way. You learn it from she'ein, from she'yesh teaches you to someone she'ein, okay? Meaning, if you have hair, teaches you that when you don't have hair, you have to do exactly what the guy who has hair does. You have to shave, put a razor on your head. And likewise, what's the corresponding thing with the tnufa? So what's the corresponding with the tnufa? You don't have hands, but you have arms. So you use your arms for the tnufa. Okay, this is reminiscent, and we'll see it in the Gemara in a minute, of something we learned way back when about the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah has to put the blood from the Asham, on the tnuch ozan yamanid, and the bohen yado yamanid, and bohra glo yamanid, right? His ear, his finger, and his toenail. Okay? So, what happens if he doesn't have a hand? Okay? So there's a machloka we're going to see, but one of the opinions is, he puts it on the space where his finger should be, or his ear should be. Okay? So it's the same thing here. You don't have hands, but you have arms, so you put it on the closest part that you have, the best, exactly. Right.
As is shaving.
Right. You do the act without the body part that you have, you know, that you're missing. So they basically say you can't learn it that way, okay? And therefore, you can't learn that it's ma'akev, that's not ma'akev, in which case you can prove that it is ma'akev. So we have no question on it. Now, once we have already mentioned this, we're going to get into Beit Shammai. What does Beit Shammai say? Beit Shammai says he doesn't need to shave. Now, what does that mean, he doesn't need to shave? We're going to have two interpretations. One in this Mahalach, and the next is going to be in the next Mahalach. Okay, so now we're going to read in the Gemara. Va'amar Ravina, my einot tzarich lebet shamai. Einot tzarich means ein lo takana. Okay, it means he can't put a tar al rosho, but he needs to, and therefore this nazir can never be removed from his nazirut. Which actually, right, and in the beginning, you looked at it and you said, oh, Beit Shammai says you just don't need to do it. Which doesn't exactly match Beit Shammai, who's usually more machmir. So this interpretation actually, you know, explains Beit Shammai the way Beit Shammai generally would be, which is, Ein lo takana, this guy will be a nazir forever. Okay? And Hama Beit Hillel, yesh lo takana. Okay? Yeah.
Maybe Beit Shammai would have brought Shemir Chathila. If he had no hair, he couldn't become a Nazir because he didn't have all the right qualifications.
Right. So it could be Beit Shammai. Right. This goes back to our question. Could a bald person be a Nazir? No one really seems to think that because he doesn't say, right? He just seems to say, if you take upon your Nazirut and you're bald, since you can't shave, so you can never get out of it. Because shaving is only, right? We did see other situations where you're stuck and you can't get out of it. Now, shaving, I think to say that you can't be a Nazir because you can't shave doesn't make so much sense because the idea of Nazirut is to stick on upon yourself all sorts of things, and then shave at the end is like a process of finishing. So to say that since you can't finish it, you can't be a Nazir seems weird. Although, of course, one of the Isurim don't apply to him, but that also seems like you shouldn't be able to say.
If you can do the waving without having hands, then why can't you shave your head if you don't have hair?
So that's the same approach. But there's two approaches. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. The other approach is to say, no, you don't have hands, you can't do tnufa, and therefore you can't finish this process. And you don't have hair, you can't shave. And there's two approaches here going on.
This happened, God forbid, if you're going into Nazirut without hair, without hands,
right.
And then
what if you go in with hands and then you?
That's what I'm saying. I said, what happens if God forbid
something happens to you on the right, or you go bald while you're a Nazir.
But to go into it knowing that you
can never get out of it.
Right, that you can never get out of it. Right.
Right,
you should have known from the beginning. Right, then you could see a case, by the way, where someone would say that would be a good case for a petach. Had I known that I couldn't have finished the process, but if he knew going in, then it would be a problem. Then he knew going in, but then maybe he meant to be in a zero lamp. Could be.
Well, if you're going in knowing that you could never get out of it, then this would be
right.
A moot point.
You have to remember, though, according at least to this interpretation, this is Beit Shammai's approach, which we don't paskin like.
Yeah.
Okay? And we're going to, I want to be very clear. There's two totally different approaches here. Some approaches say, first of all, whether it's ma'akev or not ma'akev, and then remember, there's the whole approach we saw, which is chachamim, which is that if you do just one ma'aseh, that's enough. You can get out of your nizirut already. So you still have to do the whole process, but if you didn't do it, it's not ma'akev. So according to that whole approach, this wouldn't even be relevant. Okay?
So why then would they say you just need to do one of these rituals? Why would they then have a whole stream of rituals if you really need to do one of them to get out of it?
Because there's always lechatchila b'di'evet. There's lechatchila b'di'evet. This is the process, but if something went wrong in the process and you couldn't do something, so it's still okay.
Yeah.
That's always in halacha, you know, what has to be done and what, you know, b'di'evet. Okay. So now they're going to say, and this way of reading and understanding Beit Shammai goes according to Rabbi Pedat. Hainu de Rabbi Pedat. Da'amar Rabbi Pedat, Beit Shammai v'Rabbi Eliezer amru davar achad. Okay, the Beit Shammai and Rabbi Eliezer say the same thing. They're of the same mindset. My Rabbi Eliezer, which Rabbi Eliezer? Like, what case of Rabbi Eliezer? D'tanya. Ein lo bohen yad v'regel. Okay, right, we're talking now about the Metzora. Ein lo tahara olamit. Okay, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says there's going to be a three-way machloket here. Rabbi Eliezer says he'll never get out of being a Metzora. Okay, that's a different case where he didn't even try to become a Metzora. It just happened to him, and he's got no way out. Rabbi Lezer, that's Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Shimon, so basically that matches Beit Shammai in our case. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yanichenu al mekomo v'yetze. He puts it on the place where his ear should be, okay, like you have this part of your head, you know, you put it over there. V'yetze. V'chachamim omrim. Okay, what if he doesn't have a right hand, okay, but he has a left hand, or he doesn't have a right ear, but he has a left ear? So what does Rabbi Chachamim say? Yaniach al shal smol v'yetze. Okay, you could just do it on the left, okay, instead of the right. What if he doesn't have a left? Right. Okay. So if he doesn't have a left, then I guess Chachamim would probably agree with Rabbi Shimon. He puts it on the place. Right. But what Chachamim is saying is better to put it on a left finger or ear or toe than on a right where there isn't one at all. Okay. That's like a whole big thing about how, you know, the right, how important right is versus left is, right, there was that whole thing with the Kohen in Yoma. Do you remember where he had to hold something in the left, and it was a whole thing how he does it? There was like a whole process. I forget exactly all the details, but this whole thing about the importance of the Yamin. Okay, so now that was the Mahalach. I want to just summarize it before we move to the second option. Who does it go according to? The Rav says, right? Rav says, Tnufa Ma'akevet. Who does that go according to? Must be Rabbi Eliezer, and it's teaching you. You might have thought that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, all the other stages are ma'akev, not the tenufa. Kamashvan is also ma'akev. And then we tried to bring this ben sheyesh, ben she'ein to come and say, is it really ma'akev? Isn't it coming to say that she'ein is, that sheyesh is just like she'ein? Okay, if you don't, if you have, it's just like if you don't have, and therefore it's not ma'akev. And they say, no, 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 it's really the opposite. The sheyesh teaches you about she'ein. Okay? That the, even if you don't have it, you still have to do it. It's ma'akev. Okay? And in the end, right, so in the end they're gonna say that it is ma'akev, okay? It was all to just question that whole thing, is it really ma'akev? And we've proven that it is ma'akev. Even those brightot come to say that it is ma'akev, ben shesh oser, ben she'en lo, because we see Beit Hillel says you have to shave, okay, you have to do it anyway, even if you don't have a hand, even if you don't have hair. Okay, now we're gonna see the sugya a little bit differently, and it's not 100% parallel. That's why I wanted to really clarify. Lishnachrina, Amrela, Amarav, Tnufa Benazir Ma'akevet. Okay, so far the same, right? He says Tnufa is Ma'akevet. Aliba Diman, who is this according to? Ilema Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer Pshita. If it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's obvious. Ha'amar Rabbi Eliezer Achar Ma'asim Kulam, meaning you need all the Ma'asim before you can be done. Ella aliba de rabbanan, but if you want to say it goes like rabbanan, hashi yesh lomar tiglachat amar rabbanan lom akva tnufa mebaya, right? You're going to say, right, that tiglachat is ma'akev, and you're going to say that tiglachat isn't ma'akev. How could you say that tnufa is not ma'akev? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, now here is where the sugya differs a little bit. Right now, we're going to see the Gemara never answers the question according to the second lashon. Okay, the Gemara says, is it Rabbi Eliezer or is it Chachamim? And it doesn't really answer it. It just says, it can't be Rabbi Eliezer because it's Pshita, and it doesn't answer the Mahu Detema, okay? And it can't be Chachamim because Chachamim clearly don't say that it's Ma'akev. They think it's clearly not Ma'akev. Okay, unless you answer Aviva's answer, which is maybe they think, you know, maybe Tnufa's in a different category. But anyway, that's here. So basically, the Sukkah is going to end here in terms of its question, okay? It doesn't answer it, okay? But now they're going to say, they're going to bring in the bright tone and start with the reverse direction, okay? So now they're going to say, now they want to question Rabbanan. Okay, umi lo ma'akva, according to Chachamim, is the tnufa really not ma'akev? V'hatanya zo torat ha-nazir, bein sheyesh lo kapayim, u'bein she'ein lo kapayim, which means what this time? What are we going to say? The Bein Sheyesh Lo, Bein She'ein Lo comes to teach you that She'ein is like Sheyesh. And just like, right, we're going to learn from the Sheyesh to the She'ein. Just like if you have, you have to do it. Likewise, if you don't have, you also have to do it. And it is Ma'akev. So this comes to teach you that it's Ma'akev. And therefore, how could Chachamim say that it's not Ma'akev? So now we're going to use those brayot to question Chachamim. And now we're going to say, wait a minute. But if you want to say that that's what this means, that it's ma'akev, okay, elaha detanya zo torat ha-nazir, bein sheyesh lo se'ar, ubein she'ein lo se'ar, hachinami dima'akva. If according to what you're saying then, the se'ar, right, the whole logic is, if you're going to say bein sheyesh, bein she'ein, that it comes to teach you that it's ma'akev, so also by the se'ar, we should say that it's ma'akev. And what do we see by the se'ar? V'hatanya, Nazir Memorat, Beit Shammai Omrim, Eino Tzarich Lavir Tara Rosho, Ubid Hill Omrim Tzarich. Okay, so what do you see here? That the, 1 second. Ah, right. So what they wanted to say, one second. What they want to say here, okay, it's a little tricky, but the interpretation I read wanted to explain that what they're trying to say here is that whether you have hair or you don't have hair, you still have to put a razor on your head. And likewise, the a person who doesn't have hands has to do the tenupa, but it doesn't have to do with this. It doesn't have to do at all with the question. Zotarad Nazir doesn't come to teach you, is it ma'akev or isn't it ma'akev? It's just coming to teach you what you do if you don't have it. Okay, if you're a person who's, you know, whose physical features are different from, you know, and make it difficult to do these acts, you still do them. But it doesn't mean that it's ma'akev or not. Okay, it has nothing to do with that question. So now, Amar Rabbi Avina, Mait Sarich Lebeit Hillel, Sarich Ve'ein Lo Takana. So now they say, no, Dafka, you misunderstood Beit Hillel. Rabbi Avina comes and says, when Beit Hillel says you have to be Mavir Tara Rosho, he doesn't mean what we thought the first case. He flips the Shitot. And according to this, Beit Hillel means you need to do it, and there is no Takana. In which case, what do you see? That the Se'ar is Ma'akev. Because in the end, if you don't have a way to shave because you don't have hair, then according to Beit Hillel, you can't ever get out of your Nazirut. In which case, they prove exactly their point, which is that this seems to show that it's all ma'akev. In which case, we're stuck with a question still on... We're left with the question still on Chachamim. How could Chachamim say that it's not ma'akev? Okay, and we're left with a question. And then the Gemara just points out here that pliga de Rabbi Pedat, right? Because according to this, right, lebeit Shammai yesh lo takana. According to Beit Shammai, when he says, eino tzarich lavir tara rosho, right, it means that he doesn't need it, basically. It's not ma'akev. And pliga de Rabbi Pedat, and this clearly disagrees with the Rabbi Pedat's understanding of the machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. So what you have here is a confused mesoret about the machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, when it comes to the hair and whether it's ma'akev or not, and how you resolve it. So just one thing I wanted to check. We finished this. Right, so the kushiya has just left. Right, and they leave it at that. Right, so this basically this second reading is a very strange reading. Number one, Beit Hillel is more machmir than Beit Shammai. Number two, it asks a question, doesn't answer it. Number three, it brings a question on Chachamim, it doesn't answer that either. So, you know, if you wanted like to vote on which Lashon seems the more, you know, probable one, it's probably the first. Although, you know, sometimes there's a whole theory in Girsaot that the more difficult one is the more obvious one, because the more correct one, because no one would make up or get confused with something that's so off. But anyway, you know, I would leave it as that one looks like it was somewhat passed down, maybe improperly, and it looks much more incomplete. So anyway, there's some different ways of reading it. It's obviously a very confusing sugi here, but that I read it to make it simple in one way of reading. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.